the Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Ticker Talk. It's Wednesday, the 18th of October, 2023. Sorry, I was a bit late there, waiting for the software to catch up there. Hope you're well there. There's been a red weather warning for the UK, rain on top of the awful markets. The question today, okay, before I say that, by the way, if you haven't subscribed, and I know a couple of you haven't, hit that subscribe button, please. And also like and comment, okay, if you could. But the question I want to ask today is, what is the first thing you look at when you research a company? I know what I look at, but what is the first thing you look at? Just comment there, anything there. So we'll be looking through that. Comment in straight away. Good news for Oxford Biodynamics today, old dog. Yeah, we'll look at that. That is good news, yes. It shows they have, you know, they're not just a one-trick pony. Got lots of things going on. But let me know there, what's the first thing you look at when researching a company, all right? By the way, I just want to show you this before I get into the comments. Let's just go to the London Stock Exchange page. I'm going to share the screen with you. All the indices are down today, okay? FTSE 100 down, Whitbread's up a little bit there, but they're all down. FTSE 100 down 0.65%, AIM down 0.55%, hitting new lows. I just got an alert on the chart there. In fact, this is the chart. I just got so it's the same old sorry story every day. 47.73% down, 772 days from the high. And there we are. Look at that. Literally at the lows, at the recent lows. And if you go here, this is the FTSE All Share since 2003, it was at 785. Okay. And now, like, we're down at 685. Five, pretty much. So in all those years, it's 100 points down. So 20 years, and we're down 100 points. Yeah. But that's, you know, it's an indices. I understand it's an indices. It's a, you know, stock market. It's a market of stocks. There's always opportunity within that market of stocks. Like anything, isn't it? You know, you go into, you know, a high street full of shops. All the shops aren't good. Some of them are very good. Some of them bad. You've got to pick the good ones or the ones undervalued. So let me know, please, what is the first thing you look at when you're researching a company? Catch up on a comment from yesterday. Sharu, the vegan Westie, is always a late view to this, but he always posts after the show. By all means, if you post after the show, I'll still get it. I get the email on comments. So by all means, if you're watching this on catch-up, which most people do, then please don't be afraid to put a comment there, okay? Because I will pick it up. So we're talking about, of course, Monday, biggest losers, what's the lessons you've learned? And then yesterday, the biggest winners, what's the lessons you learned? Oddly, not many people had some big winners. There was more people talking about their losses. And that it sort of conforms that the psychology is, you know, when you have a loser, it hits you twice as hard. The pain is twice as much as the pleasure you get from, you know, a gainer, a winner, pretty much. So losers hurt more. Okay, he says, my biggest recent winners was Card Factory that I bought on Feb 2021 at 33 pence and sold it a few weeks later, April 2021, for around 80 pence. Are you saying 2021 or 2023? Anyway, the lesson I learned was to be a contrarian. Buy stocks that have dropped at least 50% and are out of favour, in brackets, negative sentiment, but their fundamentals are strong. I used the same principle October 2022 to buy Marks & Spencer and recently sold it a year later, making 100%. Now, you need to be extra bold to go against the crowd and be a contrarian. I sort of believe that, you know, absolutely true. And that's why I see a lot of times, you know, I see certain companies have a lot of fans, you know. I mean, sometimes there's too many people on one side of the boat. And often you have to look at contrarian plays as long as fundamentally they're good, good value, you know. And like I said, they're not dying. They're getting better, it seems like. But they're just you know, lumped in with a wider sector. It's gloomy sort of sentiment of the sector. And like I said, we've talked about leisure a couple of times, talked about companies there. What's the first thing you look at when you're searching a company? Macman says debt. Yes, it's always good. I'm talking about the first everything you look at. I would look at debt, but it wouldn't be the first thing I look at. Of course, it's not outwardly obvious. What else is there? Manu, trading update, positive showing, recovery underway. That's two Maddox. We'll look at that. E. Griffin says, chart, balance sheet news. You're missing the question there. What's the first thing you look at? I suppose the chart. Is that what you're saying? You look at the chart first? Is it the first thing you look at? Okay. Enterprise value versus share price. That's from L. Saint. Gregory says, PE, then dividend. Oh, interesting. Frank, CEO cash. You look at the CEO. How do you see that, though? Is that the first thing you look at? What do you look for? The style? The hairstyle? What he's wearing? But all aim at cash spinners. First thing I look at is cash runway. Dagger88 says that's references off and off and off. Dagger88 says fundamentals. Yeah, but first thing, none of those there one is very close. None of those there is what I look at. Gregory also on AIM, the last fundraise. Okay. Still not what I look at. Anyway, let's scroll down. Let's go through some news then. Okay. Most followed, Serata, of course. They've changed their name, so we'll forget it was called One Disco once in a lifetime. That's up. This is a very interesting company, second most followed company. Ondine Biomedical, one of the biggest rises as well. Look, in fact, Gamma Aviation is the top rise. They sold a plane. I did look into that. They sold a plane for what? Let's look. They sold a plane for 131 million. Their market cap is still 54. So you think, okay, but you shouldn't just say, okay, well, it should be 130. This is where you have to look at debt, of course, because if they got debt, then that counts. But I did look through their interim results, and their net assets were 30-odd million. But let's look at the chart. I've never heard that. That's not the same as Aviation, is it? They haven't changed their name. Is AVAP still there? Because that's what they do, isn't it? That kind of thing. No, Aviation is still there. GMPA. Let's look at the chart. It's odd. You can, you know, do this game for a long time and still come across companies that you've never heard of. Oh, look at that. Let's be honest. If that was a plane, you'd be in trouble there, wouldn't you? Touchdown. Okay. There we are. So, yeah, but it's gapped up a little bit today. They're selling off their assets, pretty much. Oh, that asset. I don't know why they're selling it off. If you know why they're selling it off, but frankly, the planes and something that don't interest me. Okay, let's have a look at Savrata had news. Bushveld is most read, holdings in company. Kamran Sattar, what's he doing? He's picking up some shares, looks like got up by 1%. Has anything happened to Bushveld Minerals? BMN on the chart. Wow, look at that. It's down 96% since the rise there. But a huge rise. Of course, that kind of rise there drives hope, hype, potential in the stock. And sadly, a lot of people get in at the top and hold on. Don't hold on. Honestly, I've learned that. Even if you just use, I said, I want to keep hammering this home. Even if you just use the 200-day moving average, it will help you, you know? Like I said, you know, when you're looking at trends on a chart, like I said, it gapped up there, well, moved up on the 2018. Look at that. And didn't touch this 200-day moving average for what? March 18 until a year later, you know? Then it touched it, bounced back up. Then it broke through. That's when you should go, okay, I'm off. And pretty much it didn't sort of, you know, look at that. It didn't close above that until here. Whereas if you'd gone again, you may have had a nice rise, 13, 24 pence back down. And even if you, you know, sold there, you wouldn't have, you'd have sold higher. So that's why someone's just holding on till the end is a dangerous game. Because the markets are all about momentum. You know, if you look at any of the reports recently about fund managers, talking about money inflow, money outflow, that's what it is. That's what a chart is. It's measuring the money in an outflow of a company. So you want to get in there when there's money inflow, you know, net demand for the company. So that's why looking at charts, if you do anything today, you know, and you don't know about charts, just learn a little bit about charts. It helps. I'm not saying it should only be the only thing. Fundamental research at the top, definitely. But charts should be, it's another tool. You know, it's another tool, not another skill you can use to increase your probability of a positive return. Union Jack Oil, a second most read. It's a wrestle update. Pedal 182. What is it there? They say, it's pleased to announce the the workover operations on Wrestle 1 well to install a downhole jet pump and recomplete the well have been successfully concluded. The workover rig has been demobilized from the Wrestle site. A new surface triplex pump has been purchased. That sounds a good bit of kit, doesn't it? The final stages of the surface facilities upgrades are nearing completion. The reinstatement of production at Wrestle 1 is currently expected during week commencing the 23rd of October. What date are we? Oh, so next week. There we are. They hold a 40% interest in that. How is the chart moving? Let's select QJ. Oh, yeah, it's struggling a little bit, you know. I mean, it's had a little sort of spike up here, but you see a higher, lower highs. But saying that, maybe some support here. Who knows? Bit of, too early to say, but that's definitely, you know, three you know, statuses of a chart. Uptrend, downtrend, and range. So that's pretty much rangy, downtrendy-ish, maybe. Okay, let's just have some quick comments. What's the first thing you look at when you're looking at a company? First thing. Old dog, free cash flow. Well, yeah, it's not what I look at. Mark, growth opportunity. Yeah, this is all good. There's no definitive answer. I'm just what I look at and what I think you should look at. Frank, EBITDA. Yeah, it's not what I look at. Chris, I look at what the companies do and where that fits in the marketplace. And at the moment, I try to look at the share price. Yeah, I know what you're saying. It can be tricky, that. Which sector, Roger says, is likely to expand in the future? That's always a good thing, you know, generally. But it's not what I look at. But anyway, I'll reveal at the end. If I forget to say at the end what I look at, let me know. I'll probably forget completely. Maybe rolling it over. So let's look at Oxford Biodynamics. By the way, Desi Farm is down today. It's up to 29% yesterday, most followed. I did like that professor. I don't know if you saw that presentation where he did say, American guy, he did say, XF73 is the real deal, which is nice to know. So this is Oxford Biodynamics, where they're up 16%. Bupa to cover EpiSwitch CIRT for customers. So essentially, Bupa UK health insurance customers being considered for checkpoint inhibitor immunotherapy will now be offered a smart blood test, which accurately predicts a cancer patient's response to the treatment, which is very handy, of course, because if they're not going to respond, then it's, you know, it's not only man hours, but it's that comes with costs, massive costs. So the OBD Bupa UK partnership significantly enhances access to CIRT in the UK, reflects Bupa's commitment to leveraging advanced precision medicine testing to transform cancer care. So now they've got, if you scroll down here, they've got this EpiSwitch, of course, an EpiSwitch PSC, which is why the stock jumped up, because that is a huge improvement in the PSA test. Because PSA tests, if you ask a doctor, I don't know what your experience has been, but, you know, I know I don't look it, but I'm now in my 50s. And they say, you know, you should be going for tests, like prostate cancer tests and all that stuff. But PSA tests, they don't really encourage it too much, because it's not that accurate. But with that kind of bump up in stats, it's a game changer, huge game changer. Of course, there's yet to commercialize this, and it may take a while, but if you've got great technology in the end, you would hope it would be taken up by the users, because, you know, you get the best results, of course. So, yeah, it's very good. Let's look at the chart here. I mean, I shouldn't think that... what's your thoughts, OBD? I did look back at the last set of results. Wow, look at that. It's come from... where is that? 2016, IPO'd. Bit of hope pipe came down. What was that? Around about 161. Came all the way down to sort of 8 pence. And now it's 37 pence. I did look at the typical drop-off here. So it dropped almost 30% since the high. But it's a nice up thing here. But that is what you want to do, hopefully. See, you know, if you're looking at higher highs, I mean, in the last few days, that level there, 40 pence, nice round figure. It'd be nice to get above that. But now you have some kind of, hopefully, some support, because it's bounced. So you'd say this level here, maybe around about 33, hopefully 32, maybe some support there. So you want to get there, but it could bounce off this. But just, you know, going into it, if you look at OBD, I think how much cash they got, because obviously need cash, and yet they're still not. Are they pre-revenue? Pretty much. I know they raised some money in results of primary bid offers. They raised, I think it's 6 million altogether, isn't it? 6 million. This was in the 4th of August, and so if you scroll down a half year report, I mean, see, they're still sort of on. Well, they are generating revenue, but they still need to generate more revenue, of course. So they're loss making for the half year, 4.7 million. So I don't know how that's going to come down. And they did have, so you got to think, well, the thing is, I think if anything's holding them back, it may be that cash level. So I know they raised 6 million, but they are burning a bit. But they need to, you know, commercialize that technology, which shouldn't be a problem. And of course, raising money wouldn't be a problem when you have that kind of technology, I think, because it is groundbreaking. This is why I love UK stock market. You know, that's a British bioscience company. You know, and it's with stats like that, it's cutting edge. You know, worth looking at is this OBI, I think, because they're in the same sort of space as Destiny Pharma, a lot more early stage though, but they're still 26 million. But they've got this sort of SteriWave shown to reduce resistant bacteria. And it's a huge problem. This is where, you know, Destiny Pharma is antimicrobial resistance is one of the biggest threats to humanity. That's what the World Health Organization is saying, has become more resistant to antibiotics in operations. And so if they're not effective, then essentially people will die. You know, even if you go in for a simple, you know, bit of surgery on leg, knee, whatever, you know, broken leg or anything, you can, if you start getting these super bugs that are resistant to antibiotics, is very dangerous. But they've got this, what's it called? SteriWave photo disinfection. But, so they said, it can reduce antibiotic resistance bacteria by more than 99.9%. As yet, though, it's still in vitro. So in vitro is still sort of test tube, basically. They haven't tried it in vivo, which is animals. And of course, that is essential. So this I say it's 5-6 years behind where I saw Destiny Pharma are, and Destiny Pharma have 2 sort of phase 3. But it's very interesting. It's basically, if you look at it, Anodyne's photo disinfection is a patented technology using proprietary photosensitizers. It's a non-antibiotic light activated solution to destroy pathogens. When illuminated with a specific wavelength of light, the photosensitizer is activated, causing an oxidative burst is lethal to all types of pathogens. Do you know what reminds me of Trump? Do you remember Trump said that at a COVID test once, a COVID press conference where they talked about the figures of COVID numbers? He said, can you light inside a body? Light, just get some light inside a body, kill that stuff. What's he talking about? Light inside a body. And then he said bleach, did he? I think. But yeah, it was good. But OBI is good. OBI, listed, of course. How many charts have we seen where the company lists at the bull market highs? And that's typical of a bull market. A typical sign of a bull market top. Lots of companies listing because people are just throwing cash at them. A typical sign of a bull market, a bear market bottom, is very few companies listing. And if you look on the stock exchange page, London Stock Exchange, look at the IPOs. Where is it? Something there. New listings. News and prices. Here we are. If you look at there, right? New issues. There's very few. Look at that. Bonds. If you go back 30 days, even. Oh, there's a bit of equity there. Rivian Automotive, but it's not. It's USD. So literally, there are very few companies listing. And that's a very good sign. We're at the bottom or close to the bottom of a market. It's the opposite at the top of a bull market, of course. But no, very interesting. I think one for the watch list that I put it on my watch list. Don't forget, with Vox, of course, if you download the app for free and just log in and you hit follow there, you can add it to any watch list. But then whenever they release news, you get it via notification straight to the front screen of your smartphone for free, absolutely free. And I prefer that than, you know, chasing around or looking for emails. More effective. Anyway. Okay, let's look at some Gregory says, always look at the chart, then price of the last fundraise at that point in the chart. OBD have got three tests using Episwitch Tech on sale. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, do you know what? I did look for some broker forecasts. There's none out there at all. So I suppose it's too early stage to project some figures. I mean, Gregory, they've got some excellent technology. I like it a lot. It's just now, you know, commercial ramp up they need. Okay, says OBD. Let's have a look at some front page stuff here. Serata, Oxford Binance partner with, there we are. There's, Lauren's written a piece on that. She's also written a pass on Serata. Ian Jack Halls has to install jet pump. Yes, get that jet pump in there. Paul's in the front there talking about Supreme achieves record H1 growth as it pioneers responsible vaping in the UK. I did like that. For a long time, I've thought, you know, companies need to do this. There's this argument that the vape industry is not aimed towards, you know, youths. But yet, they are very colourful. They come in cartoons and characters and the way they're described. But they're now taking this on, which I quite like. Their own vaping product will be in plain packaging, all bright colours stopped, age-appropriate flavours only, like they're going from the peach dream to peach, sweet strawberry to strawberry. In fact, I wonder when they just, yeah, they still sound nice, those flavours, though. So, well, they have flavours that teenagers don't like. That's perfect. I'm just, do you know what? I think I'm a genius. Broccoli. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Sprouts. If they had those flavours in plain packaging, you watch. Utes would stop smoking them. Broccoli-flavoured vapes. Perfect. Cabbage. Stuff like that. Carrot. Maybe carrot's a bit too colourful. But there's some good, you know, the trading update is very good. Like I said, vaping is only one part of the business. They do say that the group expects to report a record performance for the period with revenues in excess of 100 million and adjusted EBITDA of less than 50 million. But like I said, when you have companies, you know, under regulation and scrutiny, it proves quite hard for them to break out of that, you know, suppressive. And look at that, come down there. And then what's the market cap there? They are, what, they 110 or so, 115? 126 million. So they're just their one-time sales, pretty much. They find it hard to break out of that line. So that's, what's that? Is it a downtrend? Is it an uptrend? Or is it a range? That's a range, I'd say, isn't it? It needs to break up these previous highs. So 130-ish, to maybe start a new uptrend, hopefully. In fact, it was very, I do come looking at the Avacta chart because it's very interesting seeing that because it's still in a range. You know, it's that breakup recently, you would have thought would have started an uptrend, but it's got to get above this because almost these previous highs to really get moving. So it's, you know, that's it's quite frustrating. It's been that sort of, you've had the odd drop out and they're back into the range. And then, hey, back into the range. Back up, yay! And then comes back into the range. So it's annoying. I think someone did say there's a seller in there on convertibles. Maybe that's why at a certain level they're converting. Maybe that explains it. I don't know how long it takes for that. They've got quite a bit of debt on the convertible side, haven't they? So I don't know how long it'll take to sort of convert those. But interesting chart. Ranges. What else is there? Sorry, on the front page. Let's have a look. There was something else. Serata, yeah. Serata's the most followed there. I've got to say, I don't understand it. I never understood this company when it was One Disco, because if you look at the trading update and outlook, right? Now, okay, I'm going to reveal what I look at, right? First and foremost. All right? Let's see if there's any more guesses. Okay. What I look at, the first thing I ever look at when I'm researching a company, and to me is the most important thing, okay, is its valuation. And by that, you can just, first and foremost, I look at the market cap. And then, of course, you think, okay, let's get a more accurate picture of that. And I do look at the enterprise value, which, of course, is adding debt minus cash, you know. Because if you're walking into, if you don't know the value of a company, how do you know what the impact of future value generation can have on the company? It's like walking into an antique shop and you see something there, you think, hang on, that's a Van Gogh or Van Gogh, whatever. And you say, that is a Van Gogh. Oh! And then you look around it, right? And you look around and say, well, how much is this? How much is this? How much is this? Okay? Because if I can buy this, you know, for a tidy sum here, I can make a lot of money, you know? But there's no price on it. Oh, okay, I don't know if I can make money in this. There's no price on it, there's no value on it. How do you know what the upside is? Now, if you go to the old lady behind the counter there, and she says to you, oh, that dear, I'll give £5 for that, and you know it's worth 5 million, then there's a lot of upside, you know? Now, if she says, oh, that dear, that there is worth 10 million. What? Yes, it's a Van Gogh. Oh, then there's not a lot of upside. In fact, there's downside. If you only sell it for 5 million, she's charging 10 million for it. So that's why, first and foremost, you have to know what the value of a company is to see if the potential valuation or potential valuation generation will provide you with some upside. You see, that's the reward. But if it's overvalued, that can provide, you know, prove to be a risk too. Because, of course, if it's overvalued, then it can only come down. So that's why I look at that. So that's the first thing you ever look at on a chart, the market cap, and then look at the EV then as well, to a more accurate picture of the thing. But so I suppose you are right, EV, but market cap is, of course, you know, the fastest way of doing that is looking here, I suppose. Sorry, let me share the screen. So, you know, Cirata, for example, 61.95 million. Now, first of all, you have to check that's correct. So you look at the RNS here and just look at the last time that it's sort of, you know, issue of equity and stuff like that, and then you can check against that, make sure the shares in issue are accurate. But let's assuming that is 61 million or 62 million, and then you go to the trading update. What's it down today? Trading update. Bookings for the period, this is for the quarter ending the 30th of September, were 1.7 million. So let's say, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say you put 2 million in that and times it by 4, okay? 4208 million. It's on a multiple level. I don't understand why it's still 62 million. So they say outlook reaffirmed for H2. Okay, let's say they got 6 million for H2. They double that again next year. It's still to me that's not cheap. I've never understood the valuation. If I'm missing something, let me know. I'm not over the story. I'm just looking at the figures. I'm just looking at the fundamentals. Sorry. But I mean, they have got decent amount of cash, I suppose. So the outlook, they do say forecast closing cash position of 16 to 16.5 million there. But yeah, I don't understand it. To me, that's, you know, I don't know what you're paying for there. CRTA, Cirata. So you just, yeah, well, there we are. The chart is not there really. But nevertheless, it's not a convincing performance so far. Cirata, was there anything else? Oh, there's something else I wanted to look at a second. I'll just find it where it was. Yeah, Oxford by now. So Sandow, let's look at the fallers, shall we? Some of the fallers there. Yeah. Share screen. I don't know what we thought of. So Sandow's one of the most red, okay? And it's a faller today. It's down 33%. And there are now 29 million market cap, all right? And I didn't think it was that bad. Have you missed this? One of the red flags that throws up to me, when you're a revenue-generating company and generating, you know, revenue, maybe even profits, wow, then the longer the text is before you get the figures on an RNS, which is about the trading update, the more of a red flag it is. Stop talking. Show us the figures. Show us the money. You know? Anyway. So they do say the company expects revenue to grow by 10% year on year to 46.8 million. So they're at, so even if you put a slight, I know it's retail and online, so the margins aren't big, but even if you put a 10% EBITDA margin, that's what, 5 million? So on that, it'd be 6 times EBITDA, the market cap. Net cash, they've got net cash of 7 million, of course. So that's decent. So that means the market cap come down, or the EV come down a bit. And I didn't see anything in this. I mean, the net revenue went up. I didn't see. I may have missed something. The margins coming down, or I even looked at the outlook. It wasn't that bearish. I thought it was okay. I mean, they've hooked up with Next and M&S. and all that stuff. They said they do it. They're having a store rollout. They're going to be omni-channel. And they do have a store strategy. The company, having carefully assessed the commercial landscape, believes that being a truly omni-channel retailer, diversifying its routes to market and increasing brand awareness across, its key next step is opening its own stores will deliver multiple benefits, both to profitability and to a brand as a whole. I don't know. I think stores are expensive. You know, it's like Metro, isn't it? Every other bank are going the other way, and they've been around for a while, so they know the field, the playing field. And Metro opening up stores where old people can go in, just eat a dog biscuit, whatever. What's the point of that? Huh? I mean, expensive. And does anyone really want to talk to people in a store these days? Anyone that is who can, you know, work the app? I don't. I don't want to go stand next to people I don't know and wait in line, say, "What's my bank balance, please?" I can check that online. So I don't know why they open the stores so Susanda. But circle chart. So did I miss something, Susanda? I mean, because it's looking, that is a nightmare. It's dropped off a cliff there today. And I can't see why it's dropped off a cliff particularly. Is it just worry sentiment? There's got to be something in there missed. That's all I'm saying. I think I missed something there. There we are. What else is there? Hardide. Hardide is a company, again, I've never understood the valuation a little bit. If it has come down massively in the last few years, if you look at the chart here, look at that. This is why, don't just believe in the story, you know. Believe in the figures. Figures are fact. Story is literally, you know, opinion. So, and as you know, opinions can be wrong. Figures really are wrong. I mean, really is not often wrong, unless you've got a dodgy CFO in there. You get like Patisserie Valerie. But that doesn't happen very often. That's odd, isn't it? It rallied up there and then rallied back down. Oh, it didn't rally, you know, fell off a cliff. Oh, hang on. Oh, it's just. So it's a. But that there, even that, look, it hasn't broken the 200-day moving average. So maybe, you know, since what? May 2022, it broke it there, but it's a one off day. So you wait until there's a certain effort. But still now, it closes there above the 200-day moving average. Maybe. That's the bottom for Sosande, because I didn't see anything in that report. Oh, look at that. It's gone up again. That's not as bad now, is it? It's a little buy coming in. But I didn't see anything as bad in that. Sorry, that's HDD. I'm looking at Sosande. Have I looked at that chart? That hasn't changed. Yeah, that is a messy chart. But HDD, let's look at the results on that, because that, to me, maybe the start of an uptrend. It is one of the fallers today, but let's have a quick look. HDD, Hardide. They are a global innovator and provide advanced tungsten carbide coatings that significantly increase the life of critical metals parts operating in abrasive, erosive, and corrosive and chemically aggressive environments. So it's not going to be a sort of high-margin business, of course, because they have to make some heavy-duty stuff. But Group expects to report revenues of the year 5.5, EBITDA close to break even, representing revenue growth of 10% and significant improvement of EBITDA loss. Okay, so they're going to be break even and they're improving. What was they didn't say what the growth was last year. They didn't compare the revenue last year. But they are cutting down costs. And I said, how much cash they got? Where's the cash here? The group's cash was 700,000. But of course, they're not losing money. It's not a problem. But maybe they are. That's honestly, that's a chart that even it's been down for how many years? And I quite like this, the time it's taken to get there. Often you see when charts bounce, you'll see a period of where it'll do flat out range pretty much and then break up. So maybe that's the bottom for Hardeyed. Is there anything else? Was looking at the day late. Mano. Oh, and so someone did ask me to look at Mano. I did look at Mano, but I just couldn't get to the figures in there. It seemed a lot of complex stuff about cases and stuff. And I'll show you. and it annoys me, trading update. So this is Mandalay Partners litigation, sort of UK insolvency litigation financing company. So they take on cases, they finance them, the cases they see are highly winnable. And then they've, but again, non-BBL cases for, this is out of line here, but they've gone up, haven't they, I think. So this it looks like there's a lot of good percentages. Current trading is 116% higher than the first half of last year, mirroring the substantial rise in UK insolvencies in the post-pandemic period. Of course, if we are going into a harder environment, you know, economically, which you think we are with higher interest rates and people carrying debt, then there's going to be more insolvencies. British Bank giving approvals of Barclays extend the scale pilots. Okay. So, I'm trying to see the numbers here. I'm looking through. Where's the numbers? H1, 116 cases, 20% higher. Okay. Oh, there we are. The value of the 95 cases were 18 million. Okay. Average case size. All right. I just want to see some figures. Maybe I'm being stupid and missing it, but I can't see the figures. And at a glance, I want to see them. But that, Mandalay, for example, as you can see, let's draw some lines in here, okay? As you can see straight away, all right, even over the last few years, that there, pretty much that £2 level has been a level it's bounced off, okay? A couple of times, bump. And of course, on the top end, it's literally been 320. It's a big range. So you think, okay, maybe take the punt here. As long as it starts to rise and break maybe an interim high, you'd be okay. And then come down. And then we have this breakdown. Think, okay, that's not. So trading in a range can be a bit tricky because it could break down to the lower end of the range. If you're buying low, selling high, carefully it doesn't break down to the lower range. But now it has. But today it's up a little, up a smidge. But you know we're still at a low relatively compared to where we were previously. So I'd want to see it get above this, you know, 170 level, 180 level, maybe get back, try and get back in that range. But I couldn't see the figures there. Let me know. And we are literally, if you see that, at £2 level, is pretty much close to where it IPO'd. So you know, it's always a strong figure that sometimes. But breaking down below that, it's not a bullish sign. Okay. Anything else? News-wise, ladies and gentlemen? Nashad said Santander looks good value. They have swung to a loss, which is probably the reason the sell-off. Oh, okay. I didn't even spot that. you're surprised how companies can cover that up quite quickly. Okay, we'll look at that. So let's quickly look at that then. Maybe that chart's a mess. That's why they have this big talk of why they always, when you have a big talk at the top there, you know, you could have, they've gone from, they've gone from 100 grand, basically to 1.3, so all right, so they got plenty of cash though. Apart from that, they're quite bullish, aren't they? But it's worth looking at that. Okay, and just looking at some figures, like I said, we did see, was it by? Some good news and some bad news. Inflation, milk, cheese, and egg prices fall as petrol rises. There we are. So eat more milk, cheese, and eggs and use less petrol, ladies and gentlemen. But they're saying here, this, of course, inflation stayed at 6.7% from the previous month. It was expected to tick down to 6.5%, didn't though? Not a massive overshoot because the month previously it did drop further than expectations. And of course, oil has gone up a bit. The price of cheese and milk all decreased. Petrol increased by 5.1 pence a litre. ONS chief economist Grant Fitzner said if you look across Europe, many countries have seen either periods lately of no change or in some cases of actual increases in the headline rate before they start to resume their falls. So it's not unusual. UK inflation data, of course, that's it there. And by the way, UK employers see pay growth slowing to 5% in 2024, which is a key metric the Bank of England look at, of course. And it is sort of a lagging factor, isn't it? I mean, inflation coming down, people tend to look at inflation and say, well, there's no point me getting a pay increase of 5% if inflation is at 10%. But now it's coming down, that, you know, that pay increase demand will get less and less, and so that would be less sticky. But it does take a while, like I said, and you have little blips along the way with, you know, petrol jumping up and all that. But I think we're going in the right direction. I still think we're on for a Santa rally, ladies and gentlemen, and I still think it'll maybe consolidate in Q1, and then Q2, 3, and 4, massive bull market territory for 2024. But don't, you know, take your positions, take careful conservative positions for the Santa rally. It may not work out. It often hasn't in many years. That's it. Thanks for watching. Hopefully John's back tomorrow, so it you know, spares me from whittling on my own. If you do like the content we're putting out there, please like it so more people can find it, and the more likely you are to continue doing it. And don't forget, if you haven't done it yet, you'll thank me for it later. Download the Vox Markets app. It's free of charge. Just go to voxmarkets.co.uk/app for more details. It's free of charge. Just follow the companies you want to follow, and you'll only get news on those companies. All right. And it'll come to your inbox wherever you are. Whenever an RNS comes out, it'll pop up like a text message. And it's a lot easier than missing one. If you get one delivered to your inbox, your emails, for example, you don't often check that. But, you know, RNSs are important. But that's it. Thank you very much. Speak tomorrow. Hopefully, John will be back. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.